request to seek that kind of information from the city attorney and the city manager. Go ahead.
I have a few comments. One, I just want to acknowledge and appreciate that our current mayor, Catherine Byers, has done a good job trying to keep an eye on this evolving Civilian Police Review Board, or Citizen Police Review Board, sorry. And we need to do the same thing. I think as long as there isn't a concerned citizenry, you cannot expect the police review not to be under great sway and influence of the police officers' union. I mean, they're just taking care of themselves, like what you read in the paper about the city. You know, they're going to look out for themselves. I expect them to. But we need, as citizens who are at the other end of the gun, as it were, and sometimes literally, to be exerting some presence and influence, too, a lot more than has happened.
Yeah, I am afraid Catherine Byers has done very little to lead and to effectuate any kind of real effective civilian police review. She will respond to you in the nicest, most amiable manner possible when you talk to her on the phone. She's quite accessible. But in terms of actually doing anything, Byers does nothing. That is the problem.
But she goes to their meetings, Robert, as you and Jane Looney and a damn few people do. We need people watching these guys in the same way we need people out on the streets cop watching. And as long as the citizenry in general are going to be indifferent to it, they can't expect not to be shocked when suddenly they're in jail and they don't understand why.
No, Byers doesn't go to their meetings. She has been to one or two of their meetings. And she has a great deal of power as the mayor to influence that board and to take action at the city council level, which she has never used. Therefore, I have to tell you that I think you're mistaken. I think Byers, or Birdseed Byers, as I call her, would much better benefit from your criticism than from your praise.
Well, my point remains that there are not enough citizens concerned about this to even match the potency of the policeman's union in influencing the shaping and workload and agenda of this board, and there needs to be. You know, I think Catherine herself would get a little more excited if the citizenry got a little more excited. And I see two or three people doing it, maybe you and Margaret.
No, I think the citizenry got very excited around the Butchie Baker case, and Byers crawled back into the woodwork. I think it has nothing to do with the citizenry and everything to do with the personality of Byers. But I do agree with you, the citizenry has to be more active. The support for Byers is similarly like your support for Scott Kennedy at the last election, completely ridiculous, but we've always disagreed on that.
That I'm ridiculous?
For these two individuals, these two politicians, is preposterous and counterproductive to the rights of poor people.
I don't think it's counterproductive to anybody's rights to have an opinion about who we've elected, you know, and I don't think that my opinion or your opinion are really what makes a difference in how they behave. It's what we do that leads to what they do, because they want votes. That's their job, the same way the policemen want to cover each other's butts for each other. So what I'm saying is, if the citizens in this city don't get involved, the Civilian Police Review Board isn't going to be a real thing. It's going to continue to be occupied with itself and going along with whatever the policeman's union recommends. And that's a waste of public resources. No matter how much or little it costs, it's a waste. If citizens do start getting involved, there's a lot to be done. I see a lot of training needed by our quite a number of young policemen. You know, by the way, last week you were on the radio and you were talking about how it was just the city of Santa Cruz at the May riots that the police caused in response to the Mio and the sit-down protests against the anti-homeless ordinances. In fact, I was told by city council members that there were four, and I believe there were five, different police jurisdictions involved, and that's one of the reasons they were so confused and didn't know what they were doing at that time.
No, the only police jurisdiction that was doing any arresting was the Santa Cruz City Police, and that was the only one that was in evidence, and those are the only ones that there was any actual complaints of violence against that I ever heard. Nor also, they were the only officers I saw downtown, but who knows, and there may have been other cops around.
I agree with those comments that they were the ones in action. There were a lot of police departments, and there were a lot of, let's say, breach of protocol, no matter which city you work for and what kind of training maneuvers you were using the people in downtown Santa Cruz on Farmers Market Day to practice on.
Well, the problem with you know, I've called for public participation and civilian police review, but it's really almost by default. I think that if you're going to put time into police review, you'd be much better advised to contact Nick Whitehead at 475-2012 and work on a cop watch downtown than to sit around trying to toy with this civilian police review board. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, I maintain an ambivalent attitude. I do go to their meetings occasionally. I even go to the city council meetings occasionally. And I'm reminding you that they have a meeting at 5 o'clock on August 8th. But I don't want to cover for them or for these politicians in any way. I think Byers and Kennedy have significant power, and they could be doing all kinds of things that ordinary citizens can't do, and they are not. And that inaction speaks all kinds of volumes about the depth of their commitment. Byers and Kennedy essentially delayed any significant police review and defanged it. It started being discussed around 1990, and it ended up in a completely defanged law in 1994. But it's not really I don't really think it's an issue. It's up to argument, really. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I think, I mean, if you're going to be critical of Byers and Scott and Kennedy in that manner, what about District Attorney Art Danner? I mean, it's Art Danner who twisted the whole Butchie Baker thing into something totally different than what it was and controlled the grand jury investigation and helped the guy get off in spite of the way he treats women and poor people.
It was Byers and Kennedy who voted against the investigation, who voted to conclude the investigation at City Council that initially was supposed to investigate Baker. We have to consider people within their proper jurisdictions, and Danner is a dog. Well, I don't want to offend my canine friends. Danner is a man who should be recalled, and there is currently a recall they're trying to get a recall on the vote on the ballot for next. I guess it's before October or November. You'll be hearing about that from Battling Bob LaMonica on his show, which is on Fridays. And if I had the PSA sheet, I would tell you the Coalition to Recall Danner's phone number, which I don't have anymore. No, I just got taken out of the studio right now. That's a good point. Yeah, Ed Fry is an attorney who we occasionally have had on the air. We recently had him discussing problems at Zanato's. Zanato's, a rather bigoted department store, or I should say grocery store downtown, which was the Albertson's successor. It's in the, it's on Front Street, in the big shopping center there downtown. Has one of its security guards apparently has belted a poor person and called him a food. Example of being a food stamp scum. That was on the air on Friday. And Ed Fry is looking for information about other people who've been abused at Zanato's. And if you want to give him a call, it's 457-1545. That's 457-1545. You can also get information about the Recall Danner campaign from Ed. And we have an incoming call. Who knows? Maybe it's of one of those food stamp scum.
Hello, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
No, it's Nutcracker again. I'm just calling in to give you the Recall Danner telephone number.
Oh, good, good.
That is 457-2670.
457-2670. Well, you must actually be hearing us out there, huh? On the radio.
Well, damn you, Danner.
Well, actually, we'll hope to see you on the air. See you on the air? Well, maybe we'll smell you on the air. We'll hear you. You'll be on the air on Friday, hopefully,
yeah,
with us.
I'm going to be cracking my nuts down there on Friday.
Well, thank you, Nutcracker. Anything else you want to say to the audience?
Peace, liberty, and justice, and save Mumia.
Cool. Thank you.
Another thing that's coming up next weekend might be of interest to folks is there's a huge shindig being organized by the local liberals around the collateral damage sculpture and the Nagasaki Day. There's going to be, I think, is it Hiroshima Day? One of the two. It has to do with, shows you my ignorance on this, which is which, but the question of, again, we have a bunch of liberals dealing with a national issue, which is fine. Yet at the same time, these same liberals, Scott Kennedy being among them, and being a big player in the Resource Center for Nonviolence, is voting to privatize Scribner or Scope Park right across from the town clock in order to make it a private annex to a restaurant that he's trying to attract downtown. Now, we successfully stopped this attempt to, again, remove public spaces from our city, again, this giveaway, in essence. We successfully opposed this in the case of the Garage Grill back in 1989, when a somewhat more conservative council rejected the idea. This was in the middle of the arrests for free food at the town clock and ongoing protests against the camping ban. This was in the spring of 1989. And the Garage Grill wanted to take over Scribner Park, and one of the arguments used by the bigoted sector of our polity was, we'll get rid of those homeless people there, and we can put it to some use. Because indeed, poor people do use Scribner or Scope Park, the little park with the mural right across from the town clock. Any memories or thoughts on that one, Linda?
I have both memories and thoughts. When the statue of Tom Scribner was dedicated there in that park.
Tell who Tom Scribner was, Linda.
Well, Tom Scribner was a saw player and a IWW member a long time ago, and he retired in Santa Cruz. In fact, he spent a lot of time in Santa Cruz and Davenport, the IWW Industrial Workers of the World. And UCSC artist made a bronze cast statue of him when he was still alive, and I was lucky enough to be one of the people there in the crowd with my daughter, who's 26 now, who was in like 5 or 6, at Scope Park. And it's been since nicknamed also Scribner Park. And I used to, before I was crippled and lamed, take the food that's thrown away at the boardwalk and walk it down there on nights I couldn't sleep and put it at the feet of Tom's statue so homeless people could find it. So maybe it's my fault in part that became a congregating place, who knows. But there are problems with the park right now. For one thing, people use it as a bathroom, and our society is not quite ready for outdoor urinals. So we need to solve those problems, but I don't think privatizing parks at a time when the population is growing and public resources are shrinking is the right solution at all. You know, but anyway, I'd like to mention something just to be more specific. You paint all the hosts of this event as liberals in such a sweep. I'd like to add some details to that. The event on August 5th is going to be a free concert with people like Bonnie Raitt in the benchlands of San Lorenzo Park. It's free. This doesn't happen very often in our town. But it's going to follow the dedication of this statue called Collateral Damage, which is a picture of a family being melted by nuclear or atomic bombs or something. I don't know. I can't be specific. I can just tell you how it feels to me, and it shakes me every time I see that statue. It's being dedicated, I think, at 1 o'clock. But the sponsors are actually the Veterans Post 5888, who are not all liberals. In fact, it's a varied bunch of people. They are mostly men, because that's mostly who we've had fight our wars in this country. And the other sponsor is the Resource Center for Nonviolence, which you've alluded to.
Yeah, again, I commend those who wish to dramatize what nuclear war is likely to do to us, and I think that's a very positive thing, but I regard it as the height of hypocrisy to try to roll your political campaign forward on this kind of an issue when locally you're doing your own kind of collateral damage against homeless people and poor people, which is what Scott Kennedy has done and did last year with his downtown ordinances. There was just a phone call that almost came in. It started to ring and then stopped. You should know that our phone lines are open. We have only a few minutes left on the show, but you're welcome to call 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We are 89.3 FM here on the dial, and 427-3772 on your phone line. So give us a call. Let us hear from you. And I particularly encourage Tom, the father whose son was abused by the police, to give us a call or to give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. That's SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, 475-2012. You are listening to Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides with the Lighthouse Linda LeMaster and Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris.
And Bathrobe Spear's got his hand on the phone hoping someone will call back or call in. I'd like to comment a little further on the youth curfew ordinance that you were describing earlier, Robert. I really think it behooves young people to check it out. If you want to call my house, I'd be happy to help document what experiences you've had already in the streets in terms of police or other dangers, or how you're going to, you know, opinions about how you're going to survive when that liberty is taken away, and help get that message to the Board of Supervisors if you don't want to show your face or you have a job or for some reason you can't go yourself. I'd be happy to document that kind of thing. I think it's ludicrous that they try to stick this thing through in the middle of summer like this, and so we need people to call. I think it would be really relevant for young people to call. I mean, I know 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 17-year-olds who aren't abused by their parents, but who need to go out at night and get their own feelings and their own breath of air and congregate with their own people. You know, I'm kind of sick of the media take on this, that if a kid is hanging out, either the parents neglecting them or they don't want to be in the parents' home. A lot of times it's just too damn crowded for everybody to be at home at the same time because of the rents here.
Indeed. Again, Linda's phone number, in case you want to give her a call after the show, and she's the head of the local housing now, is 426-7701. 426-7701. You can also get involved with homeless rights activities. We're considering setting up a table downtown to start gathering signatures against the curfew, and also to try to do some citizen talk back against the hosts. We need to document what kind of abuses are going on downtown around these green-garbed goblins who are telling people to move along on the mall. Give me a call at HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's an organization concerned with the rights of poor people. 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. That's 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. That's to volunteer to help fight the curfew law, volunteer to help monitor the hosts program, volunteer to help deal with problems of homeless rights downtown. Peeking in the door, we have the vicious pagan who will be...
vicious.
He will be showing up soon to regale you. He's a youth himself. Who knows? We may have to interview him about the youth curfew, or maybe he will talk about that on his show.
Youth curfew sucks!
And there you have it. If you can hear this loud voice of a vicious rebellion, maybe you decent youth, you Republican youth, can call in. Let us hear what the real story is, how you need, I repeat, need to be controlled, need to be told to go home before the boogeyman gets you.
No stopping on your way home from the show, kiddies. Never again.
And before the boogeyman gets us, and I refer, of course, to the ponderous pagan here, we're going to have to kind of wind up the show. We're going to wind it up with, unless, Linda, do you have anything you want to say before we go?
Yes, I do. Call Willie Brown and the other big shots in the legislature and tell them that you do not want Governor Wilson's so-called welfare reform plan, because it's not reform. It's a plan to make people homeless. Call them now. Call them today. They're stuck. They need to be pushed.
Okay, if those of you who have a phone and can afford a long-distance charge, I urge you to hustle on down to your phone and do just that.
And charge it to my phone if you can't. 2 minutes or less.
Whoa. Well, that's quite an offer. We'll be coming up again on Friday. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. We are Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. Call-in number here is 427-3772, and we're going to be going out with the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe. Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe is a wonderful satirical group. I hope you enjoy it. They're sometimes a little local because they're from Berkeley, and you might not catch all the issues, but I think you will catch the general gist. Linda wants to say one more thing.
If, for those of you who think that the reason that more and more things are becoming illegal, human behavior like being young, for example, I recommend pick up the new La Gazette and look at Lucy Kimnitzer's article, The Cremation of Bell Care. It has a long list of where the money is going, and it looks like there's plenty of it. It just doesn't get to the people.
And that's it for Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Join us next Friday at 10 o'clock on the station, 89.3 FM.
Marvelous.
Absolutely breathtaking.
Now, some people have accused the filmmaker of resorting to shots of gratuitous violence in order to keep the viewer interested, but I have to disagree with that totally. The Rodney King Beating is a must-see movie, suitable for family viewing, which teaches a moral lesson, which is that you should always be respectful, look at the ground, and do exactly as the police tell you, which is a moral lesson that we're really going to have to try harder to instill here in America if we're going to continue to be a free and democratic society. You know, it's interesting, Officer Petroni. If you take Officer Powell's name, if you take his last name, Powell, and you drop the L and replace it with an R, you end up with the word power. And that's exactly what this movie is all about. The power of the police to maintain the freedoms and institutions which we cherish and hold dear in this country.
And speaking of things we hold dear, that brings us to our final movie this evening. The Lorena Bobbitt story. Well, I for one am incensed that Hollywood would glamorize this woman and portray her as anything more than what she is. And what she is an individual who committed a violent and criminal act. Now, the liberal feminists of this country are going around trying to portray Lorena Bobbitt as some kind of martyr. And that just disgusts me totally. This woman is no more deserving of sympathy than a serial killer who mutilates his victims.
You're, of course, quite right in that assessment, Officer Petroni. What Lorena Bobbitt did is the foulest, fiendish, most reprehensible act that any human being could ever perpetrate against another. An act of violence like that just has to be condemned. It just has to be condemned. There can be no other course of action to take.
I quite agree with you, Officer Wood. But we have to analyze Lorena Bobbitt's actions on an even deeper level than that. Lorena Bobbitt didn't just take a pair of scissors and cut off a pair of one guy's anatomy. Her actions are a symbolic attack on American malehood itself. There presently are 245 million Americans in this country. 121 million of those are men. One of us has now been castrated. Is this a trend that could take effect?
I know what you mean, Officer Petroni. Broads like this Lorena Bobbitt, they make me nervous.
And so you know just how nervous you should be. We're going to show you the scene from the movie. The scene where Lorena Bobbitt cuts her husband's penis off. Here we go with a film clip from the Lorena Bobbitt story. After seeing that, I don't know if I can...
I'm totally revolted by what I just saw. Just totally revolted.
Well, in continuing our discussion of this hideous, disgusting film, I'd like to return again, if I may, to the point I made earlier about Lorena Bobbitt's act being a symbolic attack on all American malehood. Like it or not, the penis is a symbol for America.
Quite true, Officer Petroni. This country was built by men with penises.
I mean, look it. Our missiles are shaped like penises. Our rockets, our tanks, our bullets, our guns, our sports cars, Florida. Everything we're proud of and which makes this country strong is shaped like a penis. It's the great American penis which has made America renowned as a country not to be fucked with. But what has been happening here lately? Over the past decade or so, a sort of symbolic castration has been going on. Women are taking over our jobs, our careers, our livelihoods, wanting equal this, equal that. And what has this resulted in? Recent studies have shown that 31% of American men now work under a female supervisor, while 28% of all American households, the women bring home a bigger paycheck than the men. All of which has resulted in a tremendous battering for the self-image of the American male.
Absolutely. American men are under attack, so much so that there are damn few real men left in this country. I mean, it's crazy. We built this country and made it what it was, and now we're an endangered species. I mean, the American male is becoming weak and sissified. Look around you. You see it everywhere. The whole country is about to go down the drain. We're about to lose everything.
I couldn't have said it better, Officer Wood.
You know what I think? And I'm going to get in trouble with the liberal feminists for saying this, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. This Lorena Bobbitt broad just needs someone to spread her legs and give her a good humping. Yeah, that's what I think.
Me too. Now what we're going to do now is go back and give you a quick thumbs up or a thumbs down on each of the four movies we reviewed here this evening. Beginning with Geronimo, both Officer Wood and myself gave this movie a resounding thumbs down.
This latest in a long line of crybaby Indian movies churned out by Hollywood is plagued by bad acting, a maudlin script, and historical inaccuracies. Now, Ernest Saves Christmas. Both Officer Petroni and I gave an enthusiastic thumbs up to. It's a delightful story with a main character who is a good, law-abiding citizen.
A good law-abiding citizen is most certainly not an apt description of the protagonist in the Rodney King beating. That's all right, because the men in the blue were there to give this foul criminal what he deserved. And that's why both Officer Wood and I gave this movie a very, very enthusiastic thumbs up.
That's right. This movie deserves an Academy Award. It's got my vote anyway. And the thumbs up given it to it by Officer Petroni and myself is surpassed only by the roar of approval given it by 12 brain-dead wealthy suburbanites in Simi Valley, not to mention the American people.
And finally, the Lorena Bobbitt story. Thumbs down completely. Blood deserves a life sentence in a jail cell.
He actually made me much suck. Yeah. Bloody Lord, not the truth. Sounds of despair and hatred.
Everybody's slave, a maid, you know. great it would be. The sun lost all responsibility and left us here. For me, the day has become an excuse. But I too have found a way of not waking up. Been asleep now for days and days and days. I feel as if I'm sitting in an open boxcar and it's heading out of town. It looks like the inside of a prison cell. I'm scared. And I'm excited. My days and my dreams have never known each other so well. In the course of my day, I have no idea where I'm going. But in my dreams, no matter where I end up, soon as sleep rolls over me, I sneak out and head downtown. My dreams allow me to cheat. My dreams punish me. They're so vivid. I see pictures so clear, it would be forgery to paint them. I hear songs as clear as a summer radio. Songs to pass the time as the boxcar heads south. I woke up in the late afternoon. On a day like this, I wonder if you age less because you didn't use all of it. You see, if that's so, then you should be able to live twice as long as anyone else just by waking up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Turn on the late afternoon TV. There's all the career school commercials, drug addict and alcohol rehabilitation commercials. And I think to myself, like to have a drink and get high. And the phone rings, but I don't answer it, because I don't care who it is. I don't got anything I want to talk about. I remember when you used to call. Remember? They always say, oh, we're going to be famous. Yeah, that's how you'd always end the conversation. An inspirational message. It was okay between the two of us. It's funny, you know, but inspirational messages always seem most possible when you're totally wasted. What do I need? What is going to bring me around? It's not listening to ex-drug addicts. I know for a fact all drug addicts are liars. I get off on athletes when they start getting all inspirational. Then they gotta go and mention Jesus and ruin it. Weight loss commercials are pretty good, you know. Some 40-year-old lady who's lost 85 pounds. And I look at her and I think she could not possibly have more guts than I do. Books. The Bible's never really done it for me. You know, being an extremist, I've always thought it was just too popular. There's a paper in Los Angeles called The Recycler. The Recycler has given me a lot of inspiration. I remember when I first moved here and the determination that I had to get a job and find a band, get an apartment, you know, if only I had a cool apartment. I'll save every penny and I'll buy myself some equipment. Always just 2 or 3 steps behind happiness. It's too bad they don't do centerfolds or cover stories. It'd kind of like to be on the cover of The Recycler. I had no friends at the time. All my friends now are drug addicts. I don't believe that I would ever wish that I had no friends. You never met Bernice or Alfred. There are a couple that have been through thick and are now very thin. Bernice is usually in a better mood than I am when I see her. She lives on the street. She's an adorable Mexican girl. It seems like if you were to take her home and scrub her up, she'd probably start singing and become America's sweetheart. Alfred sits on the curb and reads. He reads more than I do. I'd like to believe it's because he's got more time. Last dream I had, I drove downtown and I just stayed there. I hung out with Alfred. We both sat on the curb, talking all sour over current events, while Bernice and Casey hustled up the business. Yeah, adding up credit with Kiko. It amazes me how little difference there is between me and Alfred and Bernice and Casey. As far as I can see, the only difference is that right now we're making our rent. I remember something about Boxcar. Inside of it, there was something on the wall. Bernice loves Alfred. Hey, I got another one for you. All men are created with equal time. Father Time has got to be the richest make-believe individual that never lived. A man who knows what to do with his time is a man, I guess, that's up in the front of the line. In the course of a day, a man can make 3 phone calls and make $3,000. Another man can curl up his bicep for 3 hours and he can puff up his arm 3 inches. And another man can stand on the corner chasing down cars for 3 hours and end up with 3 spoons credit with Kiko. Me, I spend days on end trying to come up with a 3-minute poem that's going to mean something to somebody. And I have never been satisfied. Maybe I should try scrubbing up Bernice.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's 10 o'clock and Broadsides is at the door waiting. I hope you enjoyed Unsliced Bread. It was enjoyable for me. I really feel like I put a lot of energy out. I'm here every Friday morning from 3 in the morning till 10 in the morning. And, so I guess I'm signing out now, sticking a tape so that, Mr. Bathrobe can get his stuff together. And I'll see you next week. By the way, that last cut was Perry Farrell speaking his letters to Ziola. And, A Word for You by James Addiction before that. Since I was on that roll. Wait, hold on, let me check with the man. All right. So Broadsides is taking charge right now. Yeah. So I guess I'll just keep on talking until he sticks the tape in. The number here at the free radio station is 427-3772, and I'm sure you'll hear that more than once during his show. But you should call up because this man has a lot to say. And the phone is ringing. That was quick. Hold on, Radio Land. I'm answering the phone. Hello. Would you like me to put you on the air? All right.
You're on the air.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. I had a few announcements about upcoming events.
Okay. Why don't you spiel?
Okay. It's going to be... people already probably know about many of these, but it doesn't hurt to repeat it. There's going to be a rally and a nonviolent civil resistance action in Livermore at the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Weapons Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also the site of the National Ignition Facility. It's basically where they're testing and building nuclear weapons. Right now they're working on ways to make sure that their conventional weapons still function and can still fight after nuclear bombs have been dropped. So it's a rather scary place. And that's going to be this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. That's August 6th. It's also the 50th anniversary of the U.S. bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Uh-huh. And where was that at?
It's in Livermore, which is sort of behind the hill behind Berkeley.
All right.
And,
is there a number people can call for more information?
Yeah, 429-8888.
Uh-huh.
That's the local peace action office.
Uh-huh.
And the people who are more involved in putting on is they're up in the Bay Area. It's area code 510-832-4347. And there's going to be a rally first with some big name speakers, and then there's going to be a nonviolent civil resistance action afterwards. And after that, people are caravanning to UC Berkeley to protest the UC's role in producing nuclear weapons.
And what is the UC's role?
Well, there's a bunch of different roles. They do a lot of research, mainly. They actually run the Lawrence Livermore Lab. They're managing it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they also manage a lab in Arizona, which isn't even in California. And so basically the UC system, which a lot of people in town pay money to, is the prime, besides the federal government, is the prime mover and shaker behind nuclear weapons production in this country. So think about that next time you write your check to UC Regents. And that's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m. Again on August 6th, which is Sunday.
In Livermore.
Well, that the one I just mentioned.
The UC Berkeley one?
Right.
All right, sorry.
But if you go to Livermore one, everyone's going to carry around over to Berkeley afterwards.
Cool.
And then there's going to be, actually I'm doing this, a nonviolent civil disobedience prep.
Uh-huh.
Which is basically a workshop for people who are interested in considering risking arrest at the Livermore action. And they're going to go over nonviolence, consensus process in the legal system, and try to answer any concerns and questions that people have about potentially getting arrested.
Uh-huh.
And it's for anyone of any experience or desire, even if you're not planning on it, it could be very useful.
Yeah.
And that's going to be from 6:30 to 9:30 this Saturday night, August 5th, in Loud Nelson Park.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a short one. It's only 3 hours usually. They're a day, and actually used to be 2 days and 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it should be enough to get a good introduction. And it's going to be after the rally in the park this Saturday.
What rally is that?
The Resource Center for Nonviolence and some other folks are organizing this big free rally in the park to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And they're having some big name performers like Jackson Browne and I think Graham Nash. I can't remember who else.
And what time does that start at?
It starts at 1, I think, and goes to around 5 or so.
Uh-huh.
for that. they're dedicating the collateral damage statue.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's at 11:30 or 12:30. I'm not positive.
And that's near the clock tower, right?
Right. Uh-huh. So that's a lot of information. I'm going to come by the station and drop off a little flyer so that we can read on the air. But since you've